At the store, you'll find cleaning products that advertise, "I kill bacteria." When you get sick, your doctor might prescribe you antibiotics. Well, B. Brett Finley says we're doing that wrong, especially when it comes to our kids. Finley's a microbiology professor at the University of British Columbia. In his new book, Let Them Eat Dirt, he says our cleanliness obsession threatens our children's health. And to understand how we got here, you need to go back about a century.
Because that's when they started to figure out that microbes that could cause disease, so infectious diseases. So these were called germs, and they realized if you brought in sewers and got rid of the rats and the mice, and you had clean food, clean water, you brought in antibiotics, and the infection rates plummeted. You know, 100 years ago, 30% of kids less than a year of one would die of an infection. Now it's 0.1%. So it worked. It worked really well, and we realized this. So I think what we experience now is really a hangover from that area that we realized we've got to keep things clean. So now, in the last 5 years, we suddenly realized that, well, when we swept out all these bad bugs, we get rid of all the bugs, period. And there's this been this massive cleansing of all microbes. And you think of how we grew up as a species, evolved as a species, we were basically exposed to all these microbes. And so now we realize these kids are not getting these microbes that are needed for them to develop early in life. And stunningly, we now realize these things are basically having a big effect on the Western diseases such as asthma, obesity, diabetes, inflammatory bowel disease, brain issues. And these all have microbial links. And even 5 years ago, we had no idea. So the moral of the story is we cleaned up the world too much, and we got to rethink that because we got rid of the good with the bad, and this is having big consequences.
What good do microbes do?
Oh, they do many good things. They're absolutely critical for immune system to develop, for example. They're absolutely critical for the brain to develop. You can actually have animals that are basically sterile. We call them germ-free animals, and their brains don't develop normally. They're key for bone and muscle development. They're key for intestinal development. So they actually do have a role, and probably their biggest role is breaking down our food, because most of the food you eat, you don't break them down. Your microbes break it down, and then they feed you.
You've been studying the negative effects of bacteria for 30 years. How was it to begin to look at the positive side?
Yeah, we jokingly say diarrhea is my bread and butter because I work on microbes that cause diarrhea, E. coli and salmonella, and that's what I made my living at. And really, it all went back to a laboratory we had, and we were discussing, well, what about all those microbes in the gut? Could they possibly do anything? And because everyone knew they were there, but they didn't deal with them. But you realize if a diarrhea-causing bug comes in, it's got to compete with all these things. And so we then came back and started to look at that, and that got us in the door. And really, I think it's been a stunning, basically, revolution of all of biology, how much these microbes are impacting so many different fields. And yeah, it's kind of weird studying the good bugs instead of, I used to think all microbes were enemies because that's what I worked on kind of thing. But now that we realize all the good they have and how they influence us, it is really profound.
Then what is the right balance between protecting ourselves, our kids, and letting them get those healthy microbes?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's balance. So, I mean, you know, despite the title of the book being Let Them Eat Dirt, we're not suggesting shoveling dirt down a poor little infant's mouth. I mean, there is a balance, but I think we have to rethink how we behave. So I think we have to allow our kids to have normal microbial exposures that we're depriving them of. For example, the simple act of getting a dog, that will decrease your asthma rates by 20% by just having a dog.
I don't want a dog, just to be clear.
Okay, well, don't get a cat because it doesn't have any effect. They live in a corner and they sort of give you the thumb.
So you should get rid of a cat.
I'm not going there. So anyway, yeah, then other things like, you know, how you're born, you know, cesarean section versus vaginal delivery. Ironically, that has a 20% effect on your rate of getting asthma 5 years later, just by the microbes you encounter when you're actually born, because birth is a very messy business. But we actually need those microbes in the woman's vagina to actually start to break down the breast milk. And if you're born by C-section, the microbes are actually more like the mother's skin, and they don't have the capacity to break down breast milk. So biology set it up this way, and I think we're kind of blowing off biology in our, you know, our bubble wrapping these kids, and I think we're starting to see the consequences.
I think we know by now, don't use antibacterial soap, don't use hand sanitizer.
Right.
But when do we wash our hands?
Yeah, first of all, you're right. You use soap and water. You don't need antibacterial. Studies have shown they don't do any different, and you know, the FDA has recently got rid of one of those just because it didn't work. So soap and water, probably before meals, after going to the washroom, for example.
Why, number one or number two? or both?
Whatever your preference. I mean, you know.
Well, I asked because I'm trying to recalibrate, and we shouldn't maybe wash our hands as much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a playground, you know, I was watching a mother watch her kid in the playground, and pretty much every time the kid, you know, got off a swing or went on to another thing, he ran back, got his hands sanitized, ran back again. No, don't do that. Maybe when the kid comes in for dinner after all that, you know, you wash the hands. And when I was growing up, you know, my brother and I had a competition of how big a ring around the bathtub of dirt we could actually make, and the bigger it was, the better the day it was, kind of thing. So I think, you know, you do have to use reason. You know, let them play in a sandbox, unless there's cat feces in the sandbox, because cat feces can carry parasites, for example. You know, we jokingly say let them lick the floor in your own house, but probably not the subway, for example. You know, you sort of balance these things. And it is hard to do prescriptive things, but I think we just have to ease off a bit and realize that, you know, the chance of getting an infection these days are way, way less than 100 years ago. You know, it's a balance, and we got to figure out how to recalibrate that balance so these kids actually do get some microbes in their life.
You say you lick the floor in your own house, maybe jokingly, but I mean this because, for example, my wife wants our family to never share a fork or a cup.
Oh.
You know, don't bite your carrot and then dip it back in the hummus. We have
no double dipping.
no double dipping. That's her rule. So,
a lot of studies have shown that family lives together, shares their microbes. You know, you are going to be microbiologically more similar to your spouse than you will with your twin brother and sister on the other side of the world. We know we can actually tell looking at kids' feces whether they have a dog in the house and what kind of dog that is. So if you live in the same house, you share your microbes. And, you know, sharing fork or not, your microbes will be the same. So I wouldn't worry about that. I think you do need to think, you know, what is infectious? You know, if you have a very serious cold or something, no, don't share your fork. But under normal circumstances, you're not transmitting disease, share your microbes. It's a good time. Good family life, you know?
Did you hear that, honey? You listening? Well, let's talk about that then. You say, you know, well, of course, if you're around someone sick, a lot of parents are nodding, they're ready to believe what you've learned about microbes. Some parents, this is the way they do things, is the hand sanitizer, the antibacterial soap. How do you reach that person?
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, I certainly feel for these parents because they think they're doing their very best thing they can for this kid. And they've been taught that, you know, like you have to keep it clean and the kid will be better. And we all want to do the best for our children. But I think you have to steel up and think, okay, you know, maybe that's not actually the best thing for my kid. I mean, study after study is really showing that I'm just not smoking things. I mean, this really does have an effect. And if you truly care about your kid, I mean, you got to rethink this. And, you know, as much as it's going to feel a bit strange letting him, you know, lick that, you know, thing they picked off of the floor, it's actually, you just have to tell yourself it's in the best good for that kid to do that. And, you know, it's going to drive you crazy the first little bit, but then you realize they're fine, they don't get sick, you know, and you'll ease off a bit. And it'll actually make your life easier because you won't have to sterilize all your bottles and you'll actually get some sleep and you can chill out a bit and, you know, enjoy your kid more. So work at it. You know, make sure the vaccines are up to date in the child. That's really important for infections. And then go with the ride and let the kid be a kid.
Where should our listeners go for more information? Online is nice.
Yeah, but the problem online is unreviewed. At our book site, letthemeatdirt.com, we actually put a link to a really nice study that lists all the double-blind placebo clinical controlled trials of probiotics. So this is the one that will tell you which probiotics work for which disease, for example. So there's good there. We also tried to put a bunch of other information on, you know, healthy things you can do. And of course, the book, each chapter finishes up with a sort of a do's and don'ts based on the science. You know, some simple things that I learned, like if a kid spits their soother on the ground, you have a choice.
Soother meaning a pacifier?
One of the things you stick in the mouth. Sorry, maybe that's Canadian for pacifier. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, kid spits it on the floor. You've got two choices. You can actually stick it in your own mouth and back in the kid's mouth, or you can run to the bathroom and wash it off. And they actually did a study of a bunch of parents that did these alternate two different ways of doing it. And they found that if you stuck it in your own mouth, the kid actually had less rates of asthma and obesity than if you went and washed it off. So you're giving the kids more of your microbes, which presumably, you know, helps colonize these kids and decrease these diseases later. So there's a bunch of fairly simple things you can do. You know, antibiotics, obviously don't abuse them. Use them only if really needed. They just carpet bomb the microbiota. They kill good and bad equally, so only use them if they're needed, but if they're needed, definitely use them. Try and eat very diversified diets, and, you know, I think the real thing is let kids be kids. I mean, a little kid in action, they are putting everything they possibly can in a mouth. if that was so bad, how come they're doing that? Wouldn't we evolve not to? So there's kind of this thought kicking around that, well, maybe they're sort of sampling their world. They know what world they're in so they can get used to the microbes. So if they see them later in life, they won't react to them and cause, say, allergic diseases, for example. And it's just part of the natural. I mean, this is how we evolved as a species. You know, think how our ancestors were 1,000 years ago. I mean, kids were living very differently. Yes, they had infectious diseases, but they also had this microbial exposure. And kids these days don't get it.
B. Brett Finley is a microbiology professor at the University of British Columbia with the new book, Let Them Eat Dirt. And if you missed that part where he talked about a double-blind scientific study for which probiotic to use when, worry not, we are tweeting a link to that now at KUOW.